Hey, dude, or duder, or duderino if you're not into the whole brevity thing. This is Stevie Z. We met at PAB last year, briefly, by the urinals, and I've been a listener for quite a while now. A while ago, you asked your listeners to send in an email or a comment to tell you what we got out of your show. Then you said don't bother. But fuck you, I did it anyways. I recorded this because I'm too lazy to type, and not bright enough to do some stuff without some form of editing. If only to make myself not look like as much of a retard as I possibly can. I like listening to your Dixon Jane's podcast because it's real. Or at least it sure seems real. I mean, for all I know, you could be an accountant from Oshawa who loves community theater. But goddammit, it is good theater. It's good to know I'm not the only one out there who sometimes agonizes over what turns out to be fairly inconsequential things, or drive themselves nuts thinking, what does this mean, or what does that mean? It's good to know that there are other people out there who run into the same bullshit roadblocks that come out of nowhere, and sometimes have great difficulty with what should be so goddamn simple. Like Sam Elliott said in the movie The Big Lebowski, where I got the quote at the beginning from, it's good to know that the dude is out there, taking it easy for all us sinners. Oh, and by the way, I'm about as good at home repairs as you are, so I buy the Home Depot how-to books. Between those and the internet, specifically YouTube, I've discovered and figured out how to do just about anything I need to for my house. It ain't done perfectly, but it gets done pretty damn good. Oh, and another quick thing as well. You know how sometimes you wonder, what does this mean? Why am I here? Why am I a specific place, like when you went to China? Well, maybe you're there because you're not supposed to be somewhere else. I mean, you think about this stuff a lot more than I do, but had you maybe thought that if you hadn't gone to China, and you mentioned in one episode that you couldn't pick your son up, you would have had to have if you were there, but you couldn't because you were in China or something like that. But maybe if you had gone to pick him up, you might have been killed in the car wreck. Maybe that's why you went to China, so you wouldn't be somewhere else. Wow, I just blew my mind all over my face here. So thanks again for making all my fuck-ups seem okay, because there are a lot of them, and I probably owe you at least a beer for that, so I'll try to find you a podcamp drum.
Yippee! Yippee!
What's the title of this thing? No title again?
Is it rolling, Bob?
Check, check, checking in. Yours truly, Scarborough Dude, checking in from the gravesite where I did my very first podcast, St. Andrews. It's about 6 o'clock, in fact, yeah, it is. On a Monday, my day off, I tried to get some work done today. I wasn't very successful. I am lazy. I'll own up to it. I am lazy, and gosh, there's a pair of car mats in the front seat. My son said, these are filthy. I said, well, why don't you wash them? So he took them in, put them in the basement. Well, they're sitting in the basement sinking, and they've been there for 3 days. And I said, hey, why don't you get the mats next time? And he says, well, what about you? And they're still sitting in the basement laundry sink. That's just one example. There's so much more. The work is starting to build up, and I don't know. It's getting worse. Like, I've always been lazy. It's a gift. But it's actually getting worse. I'm putting things off. And I think maybe that's just the comfort of age, thinking, hey, it's time to slow down. In fact, that's what I wanted to talk about. I'm just back from the Scarborough General Hospital. I had my MRI on last week, I guess Thursday, yeah. I had a bone density test, and today was the MRI. It's the second one I've had. I don't know what happened to the results of the first. I got a new doctor, and I think he's going to pay a little more attention than the last one, who I thought was a great doctor until I got a new doctor and realized, no, things are missing. It's the weirdest experience. I don't know how many of my listeners have had an MRI. You lie down this machine, you get very comfortable. They stick little rubber things in your ear because it's a very loud noise. Then you rest your head in a headset, and then they stuffed cushions down beside so your head can't move. And then shove something under your knee, so it's actually really comfortable. But you have to lie still for 15 to 20 minutes. And then you go through this machine. Now, I do it with my eyes closed, because if you're claustrophobic, which I am not, this would be hell. And I imagine a lot of people who really, really don't like the experience, but I actually enjoy it. I love lying still. I can just go into cat pose. Like, I can just sort of almost go into sleep mode very easily and just lie perfectly still, only breathing, but not moving an inch anywhere. And then you get these pounding, weird noises. And there's a couple of times during the process. It's all different sounds, but a lot of big, heavy thumping and beeping. And there's a couple of times when it sounds like a Pink Floyd concert. And you think, wow, this is kind of cool. And then it changes again, then it stops, and you get these beeps, and wow. But the wonderful thing is, I mean, my appointment was 5:30. I was out by 5:45. You know, 5 o'clock, went in, check in, register. I was the only one in line at emergency. They put the tag on you. It's all scheduled. Our healthcare system, for things like this, is really good. And again, it's not just the one in Ontario or even this in Scarborough or Toronto as a whole. But Canada, like, we have hospitals. We put money into them. They're huge. And you think of the number of people, like, people coming just to remove the dirty linen that you wore to go in and have your MRI. And it's filled with people. Everybody working. Everybody doing something. It's amazing, the organization. So, again, I always come out with a feeling of gratitude. But the one thing I did think, as I started to hurry to get my clothes on, I realized, whoa, why are you hurrying? You're not late for anything. What's this rush to get on the shirt and shoes? Why not just slow down? Didn't mean just stop and sit there, but just slow down. And that's partly why I've come here to talk to you for a few minutes instead of racing to get back home for, what, the 6 o'clock news? No. Just, dude, slow down a little. And I think that's going to be a new mantra for me. Something, just slow down. I'm fast moving. It may not appear that way to people who know me, but I'm often in a hurry. I'm on, my speed level is up, you know, at least 1.25 past normal. Maybe not quite 1.5, but, you know, it's up there. And I should get at least slow down to normal and then maybe even just a tad slower, you know? Get it down to 90% maybe. That's my goal. But the other thing I've realized is I'm probably, if they're still up for it, excuse me, go out with my students, my Costa Rica students, Saturday night. The plan was to go to the Central. And then I will reveal that I am the Scarborough dude. And I'm not making a big thing out of this. It's just that I think they might like to hear the recordings that I did in Costa Rica. And then maybe also I just want to get the idea across, the purpose behind doing a personal podcast. And it's that it's to fight back against the forces of conformity, the fitting in, the stereotyping, and having our attention drawn towards the stars that appear on Entertainment Tonight and say, no, all of us are stars. All of us have stories. Speaking of which, oh, I guess I don't know if I should say this, but our good friend Gary, if you follow Gary on Facebook, formerly of Chubb Creek, man, what a talented and interesting guy who's really living life fully. It's quite amazing. I had a long chat with him the other night. It's kind of nice, one of those things you just sort of do while you're sitting there with your iPad on your lap watching TV and you're chatting with somebody. Wow! What a bonus. Anyway, I got nothing else to say. This is just an introduction to the next Dixon James podcast, whatever number this happens to be. I'm going to go back to listening to the latest Marshall McLuhan Variety Hour, and then I got to get on to hear Tom Merritt on Best Episode Ever. I'm still catching up, but I'm getting there. I'm close. By golly, that's it. That was it? Nothing else? No, I guess not. Just wanted to say hello. We're back. This is the next Dixon James podcast, coming after the last one. And there's lives to be led, things to do, life to get up there and just smell and taste and feel and touch and do whatever it is that makes life worth living. That's it. Yeah. Bye for now.
Do you ever wonder what the future holds? Is every thought or feeling chiseled in stone? Searching for for some meaning as it all unfolds. Is the love you're seeking leading you home? Serendipity, comfort and cradle me. Let fate decide all the stars align. Be good to me, serendipity. What's meant to be will be. There's no what could have been. Constant flowing river, go on and dip your toes in. Comforting to know that you can never go wrong. If each experience molds you into the person you are, serendipity, comfort and cradle me. Let fate decide all the stars align. Be good to me, serendipity. Flowers dancing in the rain, a melody they can't explain. Will you sing to me again? Please sing to me, my friend. Serendipity, comfort and cradle me. Let fate decide all the stars align. Be good to me, serendipity.
A few things to say. I'm here at Bluffers. Now, what you've just heard is a song called Serendipity that was sent to me by good friend Stevie Z, whose voice you also heard at the top of this podcast. Now, longtime listeners will say, hey, I heard that before, and that's true because Stevie sent that to me way back, January 16th, 2009. And of course, I still have it. I save all my fan mail. Oh, yeah. And I just appreciate it. It was nice to hear that again. I just had another email from Stevie Z in reaction to my reaction to my son's rap music. And he sent me along a couple of songs. Stevie Z is in the record production business, amongst other things. I think he has a regular full-time job. But is also, I'm guessing, CEO of Badly Meant Records. That is his passion. And so the first singer, the one who sang the song Serendipity, and of course I chose that because I like the concept of serendipity, is by somebody called Jasmine Bradshaw, who also played a role on the one of the two songs he sent me of the rap variety, which I still have mixed feelings about. I'm not won over. I do like reggae, and oddly enough, my son played one for me yesterday, which was sort of a hybrid reggae rap, and it took me a long time to convince him that I could at least partly use that description. I couldn't even tell you what it was now. But it's kind of fun. Like, this is an ongoing. If I'm driving him to college, bam, he grabs hold of my little red wire here that I've got hooked up to my iPod, unplugs my iPod if it's plugged in, plugs in his phone, and plays me some music and says, "Dad, listen to this." And I do like that, even if I don't particularly like that song. So, again, a shout-out and a thank you to Stevie Z for that music, and especially for that comment and for being a long-time listener. And I want to encourage any of you out there who have listened to this show, but I don't know you're out there, to send an email, dicksonjanes@gmail.com, and that is spelled D-I-C-K-S-N, the letter N, that is, janes@gmail.com. For example, Jim, I won't give your last name, but Jim from Missouri sent me two fully fleshed out emails, like letters, and it was such a delight. I shared one with Barnacle Bill and said, "Hey, here's a guy who listens to my show all the way from Missouri." Jim, I won't give away too much information. I don't know how much privacy you want as to your job, but I got a real chuckle of it, and I'm thrilled that you're listening even to this one right now. Yeah, hi, Jim. It was great. You really, I don't think I often enough thank the listeners I do have. You know, I'm always saying, I just do it for myself, and it's the doing that counts. But in fact, it really does make a difference, and I am very, very grateful, especially when somebody takes a moment to let me know that they're listening, and in Stevie's case, like, even why, what it is you like about the show. So that's that little bit out of the way. Oh, yeah. I've been looking forward to this all day. It's my day off. It's Thursday. It's the first day of spring, by the way, but it's feeling more like winter. It's cold. It's overcast. It's a winter sky. And that's okay with me because spring will be here soon enough. We've still got ice in our driveway. Ooh, there goes a man with a Yorkie, I believe. That little dog. Stubby little legs. Maybe it's a... looks like a combination between a Yorkie and a sausage dog. God, that's a weird one. Almost about the size of a cat. Anyway, sorry, yeah. Ooh, squirrel! This is Dixon Jane's podcast number 448, for the record. A couple of things I want to get out of the way. I've already given out the thank yous. There was a blockade Monday, I believe. Yes, Monday. It's Thursday. Or maybe it was Tuesday. I don't know. On the CN Rail line that runs the trains between Toronto and Ottawa and Montreal. And bam, just outside Anapani on Aboriginal land, there was a blockade. Bam, trains can't run. All right, everybody, sorry, back up at the station. I know you got to be in Ottawa on business, but you're taking the bus. And my first reaction is, shit, man, you can't fucking do that in a country. This is Canada. Whatever the beef is, the grievance, you just can't fucking do that. That's unacceptable. Every time there's a grievance, you can just block rail traffic. Rail traffic's important. There's a fuck of a lot of people who got to get back and forth for the entire day, and then the second day because they had to check the tracks to make sure they were clear. The cost involved. Jesus, man. I honestly feel, no, that's just, sorry, that's not cricket. You got to protest, do it on Parliament Hill. And that's what some of the comments were to the CBC report on this, you know. Do it on Parliament Hill. Make your message. We want to hear. But you just can't fucking do that. And I know I've, you know, I don't even know how I feel. I'm ill-informed on this whole issue. But I don't fucking say, oh, well, just because it's First Nations, it's got to be right. It's a legitimate beef. Well, it may be, it may not be. But after all that, after me getting all steamed up and saying you can't do that, I found out later their cause in this case was for the missing maybe 850 Canadian women, many, the most majority probably, who are First Nations women, who have just gone, disappeared. We knew when Picton killed his victims in Vancouver up on his hog farm and just, you know, fed them to the pigs, what was left of them. Nothing was done. Like, I mean, there was at least 50 women gone. Nothing was done. Well, they weren't important enough. They were just somebody, transients on the streets of Vancouver, maybe drug addicts, maybe hookers. We can't keep track of them, and nothing was followed up, as opposed to if it was one white secretary in an office building in downtown Toronto. You know the police are going to be on that. So, when I found out this was over this issue, and then I saw somebody else posted, I got a Facebook link. You know, one airplane goes missing, the entire world is involved. Satellites, planes, crews, cost of millions, probably billions of dollars searching for the wreckage to find out, okay, get that black box, what happened, what's this mystery? Every hour, every newscast, pretty well worldwide, is what happened to that mysterious Malaysian 777. Where is it? And now, apparently, as of today, maybe they found some wreckage. That gets all the attention. The 800 or so missing women, it's not even a news item. And that is wrong. That is clearly wrong. And suddenly my whole feelings about this blockade were, fuck yeah! Pay attention. Hey, wake up. Something's wrong here. Do something about it. They called for, one of these studies that, to me, I don't get the point of because they just involve a ton of money and a lot of lawyers and end up sitting on a shelf. But the issue is a big issue. And it just sort of changed. So sometimes it's a matter of, like, in Cameroon, there's one lawyer, I think she's 68 years old, who's fighting for the rights of gays and lesbians. A hopeless cause, the country, man, a neighbor can suspect you of strange behavior and turn you into the police, and you will be arrested and you will be jailed, and it can be up to 14 years. And you're lucky if you get out of there alive, and you know the brutality you're going to receive. And now in Uganda, Nigeria, and anywhere else where they're posting anti-homosexual laws for whatever reason because we're all against it, outrages me. Just fucking outrages me. This is so goddamn wrong. Jeez, sorry. But anyway, my next assignment for my students are to come up with two examples of injustice in the world. These are just little reading assignments, but this one I'm going to count. And one of them that affects you personally, and one of them is just something you've heard about in the news that you think is really wrong. Just to think about them, because I'm getting fed up with my students. Like, the good ones are the good ones, and they come, and they're doing their best, and that's fine, and we go over the same damn things. Like, don't put a comma there, don't put a period, that's a run-on sentence, that's a fragment. Okay. That's why we're here. That's my job, is to help you recognize these problems so that you can write clearly so that we can understand and not get lost halfway through your sentence, which has five different ideas in it. Whoa, let's try and make those into shorter sentences for starters, or use what we've been talking about for several weeks now, a conjunction, a joining word to join two ideas, whether it's a short conjunction or a long conjunction, either a fanboy or, you know. Anyway, get them to write about something serious. Like this business, the horror, the brutality, the helplessness of somebody innocent or guilty, air quotes, of being a homosexual. Advanced fucking wake up. Use your intelligence. Be civilized. You don't lock people up for this. You do lock people up for rape, for violence, for all kinds of other things, for brutality. But you don't lock up somebody because they love somebody of the same sex. You just don't. Okay, all right. I'm going off track here, but that's maybe why I need it, just to get back. I mean, it's like there's an urge when I'm at home. Okay, man, it's time. You just gotta go and release a bit right now. You've got to air this stuff out. You don't even know what it is. You don't even know where you're going. But when you're here now, you're doing it, right? Unrelated, totally unrelated. Well, there's two things I want to talk about, two more things. One is a road trip coming up this summer. I was invited kindly, generously, and very excited about the possibility to accompany Anthony Marco on his trip for Texas for the podcast movement. The thing is, and I'll be talking to Anthony before this podcast is released, I'm not interested in the podcast movement conference itself and all the people. It's either for beginners, we want to help you get started, or for the advanced, there's more you can learn. And it's just, I don't have any interest. Although Dave Delaney of Nashville is going to be presenting, and I understand Shane from Vancouver, and Mike Vardy, who I was just listening to on one of my favorite podcasts, Talking Heads. Is it Talking Heads? No, Talking is Dead. I love that podcast. It doesn't come up very often. Maybe that's why I like it, too, because it's a rare bird. Mike Vardy was talking about South by Southwest. It's just very interesting. It's just a nonstop conversation between two old friends who know each other quite well. It's a great podcast. One more in the Anthony Marco stable of podcasts. Anyway, he's going as well. When I first started thinking about it, I thought, oh, wow. I mean, for the trip itself, and Anthony is talking about taking Route 66 back, or parts of it anyway, spending some time in Memphis, and holy fuck, would that ever be a great trip, and how much fun to travel with a guy like Anthony. Probably more fun for me being with him than him being with me, because I'm going to say, Jay, aren't we going through any states that have legalized dope? No, I don't think so. Uh-oh. How is Texas? How liberal are they with pot smoking? I don't think so. So that was one of the deciding factors, I think, because at the very same time, more or less, just around the time my students leave for Japan, which reminds me, I've got so much work to do and I'm not doing it. I'm becoming lazier and lazier by the day, by the week, by the month. Oh, my God, I'm worried for the future. At the same time, the Barstool Buddha, my traveling buddy from the Maritimes last summer, well, he's not from the Maritimes, he's in Laos, I guess it's pronounced, somewhere doing something on some big fucking project, living the life of an expat and golfing every weekend he gets. The Barstool Buddha has planned an extensive tour starting off in Denver, Colorado. And traveling to Utah and I guess Montana and Yellowstone National Park and all those other places. And he invited me to go long ago. I was supposed to decide by February. I think what Anthony did was plant the seed. Yeah, road trip is a great idea because that's what Anthony's going for. And then I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. Now, the Barstool Buddha invited me last fall. He is going through certain states that allow the consumption of certain herbs. And golly darn, otherwise he'll be on his own too for the entire time. It's a longer trip. It's going to cost a lot more in terms of hotels and meals and gas and everything else. But damn it, we're not going in a camper this year. He's rented a car, maybe a convertible. I don't know. And I think I'm going to go on that one. I'm going to decide, finalize everything by Saturday. This is Thursday now, but I think I'm pretty well there. Even as I talk to you now, it's becoming a little more clear. I think I'm going to book a flight from Toronto to Denver as soon as my students leave back for Japan. And then maybe get that from Denver, where we end the trip, take the Amtrak back to Chicago, and then fly Porter back to Toronto. That would be a fine way to end the trip. So, whoa! I think it's decided. I think that's it. Thank you very much. What's next on the list? Bingo Ernst. Last topic. The other day, minding my own business, just sitting there, suddenly a name pops into my mind. Bingo Ernst. Now, I guarantee not even Bob Goyetch will know that name. Although his dad might have. Bingo Ernst. He was a hockey player from the 1950s. Started his career, I believe, around 47-55. He played for the Valleyfield Braves. Now, all you faithful listeners know I am from Valleyfield. That's my hometown, although I was born in Montreal. Spent the first year in Sorel, and then my father moved to Valleyfield where he could oversee Camp 3 and the dredging of the St. Lawrence Seaway in that particular area around Lake St. Louis. So that's why my life was shaped by that big old house in Valleyfield. Anyway, there was a time he would have taken us to a hockey game, because I can remember being in the Valleyfield Arena and saying to my mother, who I'm ashamed, I have confessed this before, but you've probably forgotten, "Mommy, look, a chocolate man." And it was the first time I'd seen a black person. And I think I said it quite loudly because I was quite excited. Wow, a chocolate man. Wow. Because this is an indication of the kind of television we would have watched back in the early 50s. We didn't get our TV until, I guess, 53 or so. I watched Captain Kangaroo and whatever else was on. But there weren't a whole lot of black role models back then. Anyway, I know my mother hushed me, but probably that's where the name came up. Now, for some reason, I'm picturing my father's face, and he's saying the words, bingo words. Like, this was clearly a message from my father. Like, it was, boom, enters my brain. I have not remembered that name. Like, this, who knows when was the last time my father ever said the words, bingo Ernst. I mean, he died in 2009 of Alzheimer's, age 86. He played 400 pro games without scoring a goal. He got a lot of penalties. He won the record for penalties for, I guess, the, what, 50, I don't know, 55, 56 seasons when he played. So he's mainly with the Valleyfield Braves, but he also played for the Quebec Aces, the Montreal Royals, and the Trois-Rivières Lions. His career ended from a cross check in Cornwall in 1960. The poor guy broke three vertebrae in his back. Went to Utah, became a Mormon, I believe, and eventually died in out west Canada. But why would this name come up? Like, why out of the blue would the name Bingo Ernst, and I'm seeing a smile on my father's face. So I don't know whether my father just remembered him from going to the games and getting a real kick out of this crazy guy Bingo Ernst, or whether he referred to him in some kind of a joke, like, wow, just that guy just got hit, like he was hit by Bingo Ernst or something like that. I don't know the context. There is no context. It's just the words Bingo Ernst, my father's face saying those words. He may have even gone out and had a couple of beer with him. My father liked to drink in those days back in Valleyfield. He may have been out, he may have been in a bar, and there's Bingo Ernst drinking him down, because he was a rough customer and hockey was a different game, especially this is not NHL. He tried out for Boston, I believe, and didn't make it his very first season. They ended up on all these things and probably led a very hard life because they're not making a whole lot of money. There's a wonderful site called Benched, and I really recommend it. I will put up a link. And this is for dead Canadian athletes, any athlete who's passed away, and it's done in order of when. So, of course, the Harold Ballard son was just one of the latest posts. That poor young hockey player, I believe he was from Sault Ste. Marie, I'm not sure who, killed himself. He was just a junior, and he had a career ahead of him, and he had broken some rules, maybe drinking or smoking dope, and was punished by his team manager, captain, I don't know, coach. And then just went off on his own and asphyxiated himself. A very, very tragic end. This just happened a few days ago. He's up there. It's an amazing sight because if it's a hockey player, they got all their old hockey cards. And a lot of players who were playing way back in the 40s and 50s are just dying now if they've been lucky enough to live a long time. And I think it's just, it's an amazing trip. I think people who are sports fans anyway would get a real kick out of visiting here. I got to thank my father for that one. I'm still trying to figure out if it meant something, like why, out of the blue. Like, it was so clear, like it wasn't even just the one word bingo. No, last name, Bingo Ernst. It was somewhere trapped in my memory. Something loosened. Open that door. Bam. There it is. I'm at work. I immediately Googled it. Bingo Ernst. Got to find him. Like, I knew what to do right away. Track him down. Yes, you're right. He was a hockey player. Like, I knew he was a hockey player in Valleyfield. But why? What is the connection? I'll never know. It's one of those things. My father's dead. I will never know the connection between him and Bingo Ernst, and probably just as a spectator, but we're not watching the Valleyfield Braves on TV. My father would have been going to the games. I only recall the one. Maybe I should ask my brother and sister if it rings a bell, and I bet you it doesn't. I bet you it's just stuck in my mind. Anyway, I guess that's enough. Some of you are probably confused by now. What kind of podcast is this? What do you do? Especially if you're a new listener. Well, what I do is exactly what you just heard. I talk. All right. I got to go back. I got things to do. I got papers to mark. I got to write a report on Costa Rica. I think I feel obliged to. And I'm going to word it very carefully so that if I'm still around in a year, which is weighing heavily on me, my God, I just don't want a heavy course load. I'm already planning my exit. Maybe I could teach a couple of night courses. Lower salary, but maybe, you know, just going in once a week at night. Yeah, that'd be a nice option. So we'll see. Scarborough Dude. Signing off. You are probably going to hear a little more country or traveling music or something like that on this concert or this podcast. Sorry if that offends you. Most of you fast forward anyway, you bastards. Bye for now.
Looks like somebody stole my glass and a drink out of the pitcher. Like I was saying a while ago, here's to a pitcher of beautiful water from the Horseshoe Tavern, of course. But it wasn't the shoe they drained it through. It was some other part of the horse. Yeah, the girls are out to bingo, and the boys are getting stinkle. We think no more of bingo on a Sudbury Saturday night. The glasses, they will tinkle, and our eyes begin to twinkle. And we think no more of bingo on a Sudbury Saturday night. With Irish Jim O'Connell there and Scotty Jack McDonald, there's hunky Frederick Herschel getting tight, but that's all right. There's happy German Fritzy there with Frenchie getting tipsy, and even Joe the Gypsy knows it's Saturday tonight. Nell and Mary Ann and Mabel come to join us at the table and tell us how the bingo went tonight. We'll look a fright, but if they win the money, we'll be laughing at the honey boys, cause everything is funny for it's Saturday tonight. Yeah, the girls are out to bingo and the boys are getting stinkle. We think no more of bingo on a Sudbury Saturday night. The glasses, they will tinkle when our eyes begin to twinkle. And we think no more of bingo on a Sudbury Saturday night. Ah, play it through. The loot we borrowed and recuperate tomorrow, cause everything is wonderful tonight. We had a good fight. We ate the deli pickle and we forgot about the nickel, and everybody's tickled for it's Saturday tonight. The songs that we'll be singing, they might be wrong, but they'll be ringing, and all the lights of town are shining bright, and we're all tight. We'll get to work on Monday, but tomorrow's only Sunday, and we're out to have a fun day for it's Saturday tonight. Yeah, the girls are out to bingo and the boys are getting stinkle. We think no more of bingo on a Sudbury Saturday night. The glasses, they will tinkle and our eyes begin to twinkle. And we think no more of bingo on a Sudbury Saturday night. We think no more of bingo on a Sudbury Saturday night.
Check, check. Yup. Saturday, noon exactly, and I am not going to turn on the news to find out that they still haven't found the airplane, etc., etc. No, and I'm not going to read about or listen to Ukraine and Crimea and Russia. Did I say Crimea? And Russia and all that other stuff. It comes with the news, Quebec and Harper, all the stuff that just, oh my God, it clogs up my head. Nope, I'm going to talk to you. I've been listening to Anthony Marco, and that's a good lead-in because Anthony's a guy who, if we had met in high school, now of course that could never be, he's about 40 years younger than me, well, 20 years younger, if we had met in high school, I don't know, I have the feeling I might have made some snide remark, being a bit of a smartass. He would have shoved me into the lockers, and that would have been it. We would have kept out of each other's way. But of course, you know, I love Anthony now, and I'm using him as an example because I disagree an awful lot. I listen to love-hate things, and I'm starting to go crazy sometimes. What do you mean, don't go out on St. Patrick's Day? It's fun being in a crowd and getting drunk and being pushed and shoved and everybody being assholes. I get the other side. Yeah, go out and have a nice drink with your friends and talk. But it's just, the reality is just, we're different. I mean, we're all different. That's what makes us as podcasters interesting, because we have different opinions, different viewpoints, different outlooks, different backgrounds, different histories, etc., etc. So I can disagree with Anthony, but it doesn't lessen how much I like him or enjoy his company. Although, I've got to text him. Remind me, will you, to say, no, I'm not going to Texas. Thank you. I hope Dave Delaney can go along that ride. I think that would be epic. So he's driving through Nashville. Dave, if you're listening, rig it, you know, so that you can go along with Anthony and get that lift down to Texas for your presentation you're doing at Podcast Movement. No, I'm committed to my old buddy, the Barstool Buddha, to meet him in Denver in mid-August and begin another epic road trip all around. He sent me the map today, and it looks pretty good. There's a lot we're going to see and do. That aside, my point was, I can disagree with Anthony, and it doesn't lessen our friendship. Like, hey, what do you mean, you know? And as far as getting drunk, this is the podcast just before the one I'm listening to today, so this would have been 6:41 I'm talking about. He talks about friends going to concerts to get drunk before they go. Like, I've never heard of that, and especially a concert you'd want to see. However, I'll get high and enjoy a concert. That's great. Have a little toot or a brownie or something before the concert. Wow. Then you're quiet. You're tuned in. You're listening. You're really grooving on the music. That's different. But getting drunk to go and see a band, so I'm in agreement there. What an asshole thing to do. However, if I'm in a place like, say, Prince George or some small town, or even the Eaton Hotel here in Toronto, and there's a band playing, doing good old country rock, then, man, I want to knock that beer back and stomp my feet and shout out, yee-hoo, in the middle of their songs and just go along, especially if they play something like Truck Driving Man or stuff like that, you know? I mean, that's fun. A highlight of my life was in the Canada Hotel in Prince George in 1975, listening to amazing live rock bands just wailing away up on stage, and the whole bar is into it. Everybody, you know, drunk, stoned, whatever, just going along with it, tapping your foot and getting up and dancing and really enjoying. You're at one with the music, and they're making the music to make you move and shout and yell and stomp your feet. That fits. That's a perfect fit. That's like not going to see a performance. That's being part of the show. It's a very different experience. But anyway, point is, again, I can have different opinions with Anthony, but what I'm finding, I've been asking my students, the ones I went to Costa Rica with, one of the questions was, and this is related, be patient, this is a thread, now you've had this experience, what do you feel you have to change about yourself to be perhaps maybe a better global citizen? That's the question I wanted to ask, and for reasons I can't get into now, I never did get to ask it. What would you change about yourself? What do you, you know, how, in other words, how can you better yourself in a way? What is it? What's the next step you've got to reach? Or what is it that you need to change to help you be a better, you know what it is to be a better person. You've seen examples of it from the people we met in Costa Rica. Now, what is it that you need to do so that you can contribute more to making this a better planet to live on? What can you give? And what's stopping you from doing that? So that's the one question. And with my other students, I'm asking them to do a presentation on who am I, and central question being, well, what do you want to change about yourself? What do you feel you need to change about yourself? And I thought, it's only honest if I do it myself, too, and what does I want to change? And I said, well, I want to be less judgmental. Well, that's kind of a bullshit thing. We're always going to be judgmental, and I'm going to be, you know. I mean, I'll reverse my opinions. I might judge somebody some way and then make another. opinion, you know, do a 180 on that. That's fine. But what it really is, what I'd really like to change is to speak my mind at the time when something is bothering me, to speak up. And I have a bad tendency to avoid confrontation, to maybe back down from somebody in a position of authority and just go along. But inside I'm grumbling. And then later, you know, an hour later, a day later, a week later, a year later, years later, I'll just grumble about it. Like, God, this is what I would have said. And I'll replay the conversation in my head. Only, of course, I win this time. I really put them in their place. I really speak my mind. Now, some people can do that right away, right on the spot. And I can do it with a friend. And this is where it gets back to Anthony. If I disagree with Anthony, I could say it to him. Oh, fuck you, man. Jesus Christ. Come on, get serious. And Anthony would forgive me, and he'd dish it right back, and we'd have this conversation because he's a friend. We're on that level where communication has to be open, and there's a free exchange of ideas and opinions, and including being insulting and joking and teasing and so on. That's part of it. But when it's people who aren't your friend, for example, my previous doctor, I would just go in, and every time he'd tell me to lose 20 pounds, and nothing much was really happening. And I never felt I was getting anywhere. And every fucking meeting with this same doctor felt like it was the first time we had ever met. And now I have a doctor who's just completely different. But I never spoke up against the other one. I just accepted because he was in this role of authority. And I have a bad tendency to sort of respect people's positions. I think it's inbred. I think it's somewhere in my ancestry that you follow orders or whatever. I don't know. I don't like it. Now, when I was in high school, I was an asshole. If I didn't like a teacher, I let them know, and I was constantly thrown out of class or, you know, got in trouble, and I'm proud of that. I was able to do it sort of as a teen. I was enough of a rebel, but I think maybe the persona of the Scarborough dude sounds like somebody who doesn't take any shit, and I think the fact is I do take shit, and then I bitch about it later, and I think that's a real weakness. And maybe there's a lot of you out there who do the same, but I'm aware of it every time I start having one of these damn conversations in my head. Oh, yeah, well, this is what I'd say. And all right, now you listen here. Fuck you, that's not right. This is what I think, and you I should know better, and blah, blah, blah. And I'll say all these things I regret not saying at the time. And yet, there's a part of me. For example, there was a couple of issues I would have liked to have spoken up on while in Costa Rica with this group. And I did realize, and I do think I made the better choice. I backed down for the sake of group harmony and not creating tension or factions or anything else. I just sort of, okay, all right. And I think that was the wisest choice to make. I don't regret that, except that now I really want to say the things I really wanted to say then. And I don't know, you can't do it after the fact. And I've had this conversation with my children. For example, going to a Swiss chalet, having terrible service, the food almost thrown at us, and should have given a zero tip. But Din felt, no, I felt sorry for the woman. Maybe she was having a hard day. Who knows what's happening in her private life, and maybe, you know, whatever. I was forgiving of it. But then I thought, told my wife and son, well, I'm going to go talk to the manager. And they said, no, you can't do that. She's the one you had to talk to and tell about. You can't go now and whine to the manager about your poor service. That's after the fact. And they were right. And I realized, no, I should have dealt with it. Hey, would you mind? Hey, lady, whoa, we're customers. You're serving us. If you just put down those plates a little more gently, politely, with a smile, we'd enjoy our meal a whole lot more. It's that simple, you know. And I'm not one of these fussy guys, you know, and I like to have a dialogue, but it was not possible to even have any kind of a dialogue with this woman. I don't mind if somebody says, sorry, I'm just having a bad day. I like that. That's direct communication. I can deal with that. But that's just another example. And my life is full of those. And what I hate is, like, especially when I'm having a shower, you wouldn't believe the conversations, I mean, really just going on, blah, 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 blah. And I can play both parts, the other person, you know, the enemy, and me coming up with all the things that I would have liked to have said at the time. I think deep-rooted behind that is, you remember, if you listen to this podcast and go way back, geez, I don't know, what, 7 years or so, When I had that horrible job in the West End of Toronto for a company that I hated, but felt at the time I need a teaching job, and took it and was on like 3 months probation almost. You know, this is your learning salary. Well, fuck you. I knew more than anybody in that place about teaching, but hey, I humbled myself. I took the job. And they turned out to be scoundrels. And to this day, I did storm into the president's office, the owner's office, and just wail at him once. I did. Just, what the fuck is going on? And he was stunned. But I would have liked to have done, like, I should have knocked over desks. I should have smashed computers to the floor. I should have really made a scene. I should have gone, you know, upped it a lot more. And I ended up finally getting transferred out of harm's way to another place under another manager, much probably less. Well, no, she was more competent. She played the game. She knew how. I was never going to be a manager in that place. They never wanted me to be. But still inside, I have so much anger and bitterness and just, how do I get even, you know? And that's bad. Those are things you don't want. That's like a poison in your system. And I still have some of that poison for this company. This is the company I told you. I've talked about this before, which is why you can see it's still eating at me. Who were even written up in the newspaper as sort of a scam artist for taking, you know, provincial government money for retraining purposes and not doing a very good job of retraining. So I'm sharing that with you because I'm hoping that some of you out there are nodding your head and saying, yeah, sometimes I do that too. I wish I could say this, but I let it go. And maybe there are others of you who just, no, man, you got your shit together and you tell it like it is on the spot at the right time, and you're past that. I don't know if it's even possible for me to change. I don't even know if, I mean, do any of us really want to change? Don't we just like ourselves the way we are, flaws and all? I don't know. Maybe it's a thing you can do gradually, maybe you can try. But I think also, like I said, you have to weigh the situation. There may be a time to really jump at it, but you can't just arbitrarily, okay, I'm gonna try it this time and just come down on somebody, because you might find, whoa, that was the wrong time to do it, and that you've hurt that person, and it was really uncalled for, and you overreacted when it really wasn't necessary. Because sometimes the wisest choice is just to smile and back away, and okay, yeah, all right, that's how you feel. It happened to me yesterday. That's why I'm going on about this. It happened to me again yesterday at the college, one more time with an inexperienced manager. I got to be so careful about what I say, you know. I'm having second thoughts about even revealing this Scarborough dude self to even those students who I felt close to. I'm just beginning to think, no, man, keep it the way it is. If somebody finds you by accident, great, no problem. Can't hide that. I ain't going to change. Fuck you. But maybe don't go out of your way to push who you are. And maybe being the Scarborough dude is my way of saying all those pent-up things that I can't say in normal time. And maybe that makes it even worse. Maybe because I have this vehicle to express myself and say, fuck you, Jesus Christ, you stupid fucking ignorant asshole. Now, when I said that, there was nobody in particular I was directing it at. That was theater, okay? There was nobody I really felt that way about. And anything I might, geez, that even made me fart. Whew. I would never express things that way to somebody. Like, that's just pointless and stupid. But I would point out, look, here's a situation when you should have done this and you didn't, or you did this, which was really unprofessional. And honestly, I'm shocked, and you should really think about that. You should really know. Oh, God damn me. I don't know. I'm just getting that out of my system. I think we're coming to an end here. Geez, 15 minutes. I'm sitting. It's a sunny day. It snowed this morning, which was nice to see. I looked out at the cars. I just love looking out that upstairs window and seeing snow on the cars. And it melted. The sun came out and it's gone. But I am looking into the St. Andrew's Cemetery right now. This is my view where I did the very first Dixon James podcast, where a good friend, Chubb Creek Dave, did a wonderful tour with me when he had his binaural mics on many, many years ago. I haven't seen him since then, I don't think. I'm looking out at all these gravestones, Bell and Britton and Wilson Britton and Birch, Cox and Smith and Wright and Brown and Watt and Waters and Elliot, all these Anglo names, Davidson. It's a beautiful, beautiful cemetery, and some of them are really, really old headstones. It's actually quite a beautiful sight, and of course very peaceful. The winter, that big ice storm we had, destroyed quite a few of the trees in here. They haven't brought the trucks in yet. They are clearing up the damage done at the line of willow trees behind my house. Regular listeners will know that I have this beautiful sweeping row of giant willows, and when they're in full bloom, I guess, during the summer, students, children run and grab the branch and swing underneath and pull the odd one down, but that's just grooming. Doesn't matter. And they're just beautiful. But they just took such a hit from that ice storm that the trucks are there taking down branches and running them through that, you know, the thing that eats up trees, tree limbs. I can't remember what it's called. That's it. Tonight I'm going off to the wonderful Central Bar. I've invited a few people to come along. I don't know who will join me other. Maybe it'll only be good buddy Brian. But that's okay. We never run out of things to talk about. I did meet up with another friend last night who was in Nigeria. Our tours overlapped. He started the year before me as a young man. Lived down the road from me in Bendel State. And we shared a few memories that I had long forgotten back then of journeys and travels and things we had done. My claim to fame, he's not really a drinker, but I did get him out drinking once. Some of the beer, the Gulder that the taxi drivers drink, and when he got back to his home, he realized he had forgotten his key. And I don't know whether I convinced him or encouraged or thought it would be a brilliant idea, but he took a run at his door with his shoulder and forced his way in. And to this day, it remains, actually a proud moment for him, kind of a funny one, that bashed his way into his own apartment or own home. Yeah, so that was good, catching up. And again, different person, different lifestyles, different histories, but you can get along and you find the common ground. I mean, that's something you have to do. You don't just find out how we're different, but find out what do you have in common. What have you learned through your 20 years of marriage? And what can we share? What notes can we share? So that's it. I guess this is it. I'm just winding down. I got a mail-off package to my son. I got to get back home. I got to do something productive today, man. I don't know what that is. The one thing, the final note I want to put, I am so damn, I guess I say lazy, and I, you know, you think, well, no, if you're really lazy, you wouldn't be putting out a podcast ever. You wouldn't have put out 20 years of a zine. That's not just lazy. The problem is you only do the things you want to do. And maybe that's not such a problem. I mean, hey, maybe that's why I'm quite happy in life. Fuck the rest of it. You know, no, all right. So there's a hole in our kitchen ceiling that's been there for 5 years and looks terrible when you look up above the fridge. Yeah, you know, it'll get fixed before we sell our house. And yeah, if I'm fast enough, I can brush my teeth in the downstairs bathroom before the water gets too hot to put that toothbrush in your mouth. You know, I'm quick enough. Hey, it's not a problem. So what if I don't have cold water? I really should. I'd be a better man if I dealt with those things. Hats off to Jason, by the way, for painting his whole goddamn house. And Jason, by the way, no matter what you talk about, we're listening. It doesn't matter. You know, like, Jason sometimes thinks, man, I should stop. This is just dribbling. It becomes apologetic. And that's something I think we used to do more of in the beginning. And I think many of us, the Anthony Markles, myself, and others, have just got to the point, well, we know it doesn't really matter what you say. Just saying it, you're a person, and we care about individuals. And just be yourself and let it go and have fun doing it is what counts. And, it's that's what it comes down to, you know. It's not about having to have a great show or anything else. Just be yourself and let it out. I enjoy your little trips to myself. I enjoy very much you talking about when you're younger, like in the movies you saw and the things. Because again, these are new things to me, you know, because our age differences. And the music that meant something to you and looking back at your own childhood. I find that very interesting, very entertaining, and worth listening to. So that's my closing thought. So I don't know, maybe there'll be another song here to fill up this thing, and Forgive me, no, not, don't bother. If you don't like it, that's just fine by me. I do. Bye for now. See you next week.